And with marriage, try to be together once a week for a date. Doesn't have to be at an expensive place, just to connect. Just make sure that you can sit there and talk. Don't argue, just talk about things. And that's one of the rules, no arguing. Find something nice to talk about.
But I want to tell her this.
No, we have to start overlooking those things.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, Pastor Wayne will continue from a series entitled No Other Gods, with a message I think will hit home for most of us. Here he is with a message entitled The God That Glitters.
The way we handle money says a lot about us. In fact, did you know that Jesus speaks more about money in the New Testament than he does about heaven or hell? Because it's that important, the way we handle it, the way we control money or the way money controls us. Do we take our gold and turn it into gods? Because it can be, and that's what we want to talk about. The way we handle money says a lot about us. Money gives us the lure or the ruse or the deceptive kind of temptation that if we get a hold of it, it will make us unaccountable. And all that we want to be, we can fly and rationalize and justify it if we're not careful. Because you see, if I got a lot of money, I don't have to be accountable to anybody. If I got a lot of money, then I can have that image that glitters. I can have control of anything that I want to. Now, and I can be pretty selfish, but you can't say a thing because I got all the money. Now, the God that glitters that we want to talk about is not just money. It's about the things that we would want that would we think make us rich. Things like prestige or image. But God has a way of whipping that veil so that we can see what we really are and what we're really like. Like that one businessman that wanted to show people how prominent he was and was just starting off, was setting up his own business. So he came in with his suit and he's just an empty office, just a desk and phone. And it's his first day of his practice. And he sat down and he thought, I gotta impress people. I gotta let them know that I'm real powerful, though he had zip, but I gotta let them know the image. And just then his first person comes through the door. He quickly picks up the phone and just starts making this thing up. Hello, 5 million? No, I want 12 million for that. That's right, yep. And yep, oh no, 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 about 20 million on that one. Okay, oh, someone's here. Okay, I'll see you later. Click. He says, yes, can I help you? The guy says, well, not really. I'm just here to hook up your phone. God has a way of just whipping that old veil off, doesn't he? And that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about how this God that glitters can lead us on a dead-end rabbit trail after fool's gold, when the greatest things of all that make us really rich are left behind. And our pathway in America is replete with evidences that we've gone after the God that glitters. Did you know that we live under this myth of more, more, and better than, as you saw in the sketch? We've just got to get better and more and more and more, to the point where we have put ourselves into such debt. How many of you, let's be honest here, this is just an honest test now, how many of you have some measure of debt in your life, consumer debt, credit cards, etc.? Raise your hand. Okay, all right, yeah. Did you know that we have, every day in America, 4,000 filings for bankruptcy? Isn't that amazing? Because we are in such debt. You know what our debt is, our consumer debt? $5.7 trillion this year. $5.7 trillion. So, trillion. I never know what's that one number, trillion. I can count to 29, maybe 30, but what's trillion? Well, let me tell you how much trillion is. If you take a stack of dollar bills and you're going to pay back $1 million, if you took $1 every second, 1,000, 1, 1,000, 2, 1,000, 3, you did that for 24 hours a day, you just kept stacking it up, 1 a second, you did it for 11 and a half days, you would equal a stack of $1 million. $1 billion, same thing. But to reach $1 billion, it'll take you 31 years. A trillion, same thing. It'll take you 32,000 years. We are $5.7 trillion in consumer debt. Is that a lot? Do you understand the God that glitters is a ruse and it pulls us in his way? And what happens is we lay everything else aside, almost sacrifice it on the altar to this God. Is money important? Absolutely. God speaks so much about how we utilize it. how we use it as a means to the end, an end, his assignment for our lives. But how often, like the children of Israel, we don't realize it, but we take our gold and make it into a god, and it starts to glitter, and we follow it as an end in itself. Is money important? Yes. It teaches us punctuality. When you earn your living, you learn people skills, innovation. You learn how to increase your learning curve. You learn how to submit to authority. You learn how to be perseverant. You learn how to take initiative. You learn how to work without supervision. You learn how to play above the rim. So many wonderful character qualities will be learned under this umbrella of making a living. However, we can often allow that to turn into a god, so it's an end in itself. And so the Lord says you must choose, because you can't serve this God that glitters and the God of all eternity. Let's read what we find here at the top of our notes out of Luke 16. Ready? Go. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things, and they were... The Pharisees were what? You know, the Pharisees were scoffing at him because they were what? Lovers of money. You can be very religious and still be a lover of money. And when God begins to speak certain things to our life, we will reduce God's word and we will increase or hold to the God that glitters. You can be very religious about it, but you'll miss it. But it will come through. So God speaks a lot about how we choose this thing called money, where we're going to go with it. What role will it play in our lives? Let me tell you a story of a well-known man that lived under the myth of more. All he ever wanted in life was more. He wanted more money, so he parlayed his inherited wealth into a billion-dollar pile of assets. He wanted more fame, so he broke into the Hollywood scene and soon became a filmmaker and a star. He wanted more thrills, so he built and piloted the fastest aircraft in the world. All he wanted was more. And he was absolutely convinced that more would bring him true satisfaction. Unfortunately, history shows otherwise. He concluded his life emaciated, colorless, with a sunken chest, fingernails in grotesque, inches-long corkscrews, rotting black teeth, tumors, and innumerable needle marks from his drug addiction. Howard Hughes died believing in the myth of more. He died a billionaire junkie, insane by all reasonable standards. Listen to this. He had much to live on, but nothing to live for. You see, he followed the God that glitters, who gives you much to live on, very little to live for. And we make that exchange and we lose our soul or the assignment that God has given to us. You see, there's two roles to money. Would you write it down, first of all, in the first bullet? It could be a lure, or in the second bullet, it could be a cure. A lure or a cure? It could be a lure. A lure because it reduces everything to a price that I either withhold or give, a price. You see, it was in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus was led out to the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy, and in one of the temptations, the God that glittered reared his ugly head. Let's read about it. Ready? Go. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. Here's what he was saying. He took Jesus and let him see the nightline, the skyline of all the glitter of the world. And he said, you know, if you will break your relationship with the Father and reduce your eternal assignment, I can give you all of this in its authority and splendor, or the control that it gives you and the image that it gives you. It's authority and splendor. And I'll give that if you will reduce your relationships and worship or follow me. You see, one of the things that's so dangerous about money as a lure, or that which money brings as a lure, is what it does is it causes us to deprioritize relationships. And we see that happening all over America, and it could actually encroach on the church. You see, just because America's affluent doesn't mean we have good relationships. In fact, right now, one of the most recent statistics say that 40% of our children are growing up in single-parent homes in America. 40% of our children are fatherless. Do you understand what's going to happen to the generations yet to come? Because the God of glitter has called so many and tempted them. What it's saying is this. Here's what I can give you if you will break relationships. And so many have followed that God that glitters. So that everything is reduced to a price. I'll buy you. If for this amount, will you leave that? For this amount, will you do that? For this amount, will you do that? And we say yes. And that's why America is one of the most litigious countries in the world, where we sue one another for money, because everything is reduced to a price. You killed my brother. Okay, how much? 2 million? Okay, 2 million. All right. Okay, you can go now. I feel better. Everything has been reduced to a price. Does that mean we shouldn't do that? No, I'm not saying that, because people must be accountable for their actions. However, what takes place after a while is we forget the motives and we just want the money. And so we begin to sue people just because it's all reduced to a price. Give me a price and I'll let you go. Give me a price and I'll stop slandering you. Give me a price for this. Everybody has a price on their head. Everything has a price on their head. And the God that glitters leads so many people. And we look at our country and relationships that have been sacrificed on the altar of this golden calf. You go to third world countries, I've been to many of them, and I will see them, you know, they don't have much, but they have wonderful relationships. And they'll pick up a rock and play with a rock, and, you know, they'll just be fine. And then they look at Americans that have so much money, but we have no relationships at all. And you know what they say? I think we'll take our way. And the third world countries are actually better off. I was just talking to some people that went down to some of the tribes in Africa, and the Americans were their missionaries, and they said they start church whenever they start church, and they get done whenever they get done. Sometimes it's till 3 p.m. And the Americans were there saying, you know, we got lunch coming up here. And one of them said this so well. They said, you Americans have watches, but we have time. So much to learn from them. And then going, one of the men wanted to give one of these people in third world country 3 shirts. He said, oh, I don't need 3 shirts. He said, no, I have plenty. The American said, no, then you keep them because I don't need 3. Well, how much can I give you? Well, you can give me 2 because I can wear 1 while I'm washing 1. And that's good enough. I'll give you 3. No, because if you give me 3, someone will steal it. So 2 is plenty. That's fine. You keep the rest. And we've got so much to learn from those people. And so God's going to speak to us today about the importance of the treasure of relationships. Don't forfeit that. Because money can be used as a lure, but it also can be used as a cure. You know as well as I, when it's utilized correctly, it can be used to feed the poor, advance the gospel, take the name of the Lord around the world, build leaders, plant churches, help others. But you've got to choose, as Alfred Nobel once did. We know that his name is synonymous with the Nobel Peace Prize. What you might not know is that he is also the inventor of dynamite. When he had to make a choice about what he would be known for in the usage of his money, was when his brother died, and by mistake, the local newspaper thought that Alfred Nobel had died. So they put his name in the obituary and a little bit about Alfred Nobel instead of his brother. And when he read the obituary, he saw his name as one who had died. So he read on, and it said Alfred Nobel died in such and such a year. And then it said this, a man who made his millions from dynamite, which is now used to kill people in massive numbers in wars. And he looked at that and said, I will not be known for that. That is not what God has given me these monies for. And so at that point, he established the Nobel Peace Prize that gives yearly financial help to those who are making advancements in medicine and in literature and in peace. He said, you have to choose what role money is going to play. He said, well, how do we do that? How do we get a clean and clear landscape as to how we can make those wise choices and decisions? Well, number one, would you write down, establish your eternal calling. You've got to establish your eternal calling. What is your reason for being alive? What is the important thing? Well, God says in his Bible, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the greatest commandment of all. If you miss that, you missed it. That's why we find in the book of Mark, let's read this scripture together. Ready? Go. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, to someone who's not a Christian, this can mean this. It could say, what good is it for you to have, or for me to have this huge bankroll, but at the end, forfeit my soul? So we live a little bit on this side of the line, a long time on the other side of the line. What good is it to pile up a little bit here and then forfeit it all for eternity? Foolish. Now, to those who are Christians, it has a dissimilar meaning. And it would mean this. To those that are Christians, what good is it for us to use God to serve our means? God, bless me, give me bigger, give me more, and more, and more, and more. And in the end, I lose the very reason why I was created. I forfeit my soul or my identity or my eternal calling because I used it in the wrong way. What good is it? Just as foolish. So the Lord says, establish what your eternal calling is. Find out what it is. Ask God, write it down, and then begin to look at that. Now, then would you write in your bullet on the other side, then focus your attention to fulfill it. Write it down and start utilizing whatever God has given to you towards that. Whether it be your talents, your skills, your finances, make sure that we're fulfilling our eternal assignment. Paul said that in Philippians 3. Let's read it. Go. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Focus your attention to fulfill it. One of the more important ones is this, is in the area of relationships. Make sure that that's healthy and vibrant. Your vertical relationship and horizontal. Do everything you can to make sure that stays good. Because if it doesn't, it'll get deprioritized and that'll be the first thing you sell to the God that glitters. And you'll leave that and you'll end up at the end line realizing that you are like Esau. You gave away your birthright for a pot of porridge. And so God is speaking to us, what is your eternal assignment? And then focus your attention. One of mine was making sure that my kids are doing well when they were growing up. And again, as we speak these things, please remember, God doesn't take you from where you were yesterday. He takes you from where you are right now. We can't change yesterday, but we can change today and tomorrow. So don't let anything condemn you. Let it just challenge you to be better in the days ahead. The devil is coming to condemn. God never does. The devil condemns. The Lord might convict, but never condemn. Let me tell you the difference. Condemnation drives you away from God. Conviction draws you nearer to Him with a heart that's willing to be purified. God might convict, but He'll never condemn. So if you're sensing any time, any condemnation, don't receive it because that's from the enemy. Conviction draws you near to God. Open your heart to that. It'll change you into His image. Well, as my kids were growing up, I knew I needed to focus time on that, and I needed to write in my schedule that they would have time with me. So I would take two times a week, and I would get up early, get them up early, and take them to McDonald's, and they would sit with Dad and have breakfast with me, and I'd talk with them about things of life. And we did it for years and years and years until it became their favorite thing. I mean, I'd wake him up, Aaron up in the morning, and he'd just jump out of bed. Yeah, Dad, we're going to breakfast today. I mean, he was about like that tall. He was, yeah, Dad, I'm ready. And that was his favorite time of the week. He looked forward to it. And I can even tell you now, everything that they ordered the same thing every time. And it was just a highlight of our growing up years. It was a wonderful time. And with marriage, if you're a husband or a wife, try to be together once a week for a date. Doesn't have to be in an expensive place. Just a cheap place is fine. Just to connect. Just make sure that you can sit there and talk. Don't argue. Just talk about things. And that's one of the rules. No arguing. Find something nice to talk about and let the rest drop away. Even if you say, but I want to tell her this. No, just let it go away. And that's good practice. You know why? Because we have to start overlooking those things a little bit more. Because what we usually do is emphasize what people should do, and what they do do, we don't say anything about. So make sure you're emphasizing the right things, especially when you get married. Because, you know, before you're married, oh, you just lovey-dovey-dovey and you're bringing flowers. As soon as you say, I do, that's it. That's it. You know, we can't be doing that. Someone once said it this way. If there would be more courting in marriage, there would be fewer marriages in court. But we stop. So focus your attention on that. If you're a single person, then focus on some relationships that need to be healthy, whether it be with parents or with some friends that you want to develop relationships with. Take the time, call, initiate, and make sure that you're investing time towards that and attention. And then, would you write in the next one, establish the role that money will play in all of this. Establish the role that money will play. The God that glitters is the strongest with those young fathers whose careers are converging with child rearing. You're just starting off in your business and you have one kid, two kids. Then the stress of all of that converges and you have to make a choice. Many in America have chosen to follow the God that glitters and leave the greatest treasure behind. I cannot tell you how many, but just millions. It's right there that the God that glitters seems to be the strongest, but you must make a choice. And I said to Anna, I said, honey, I would rather live in a pup tent on the beach and eat Cheerios if you and I and our kids love Jesus and love each other. The rest is icing on the cake. And I was serious about that. Then when God adds, you never let that perspective and that philosophy go. Because if anything needs to be pruned, prune that. But keep the relationship vertically and horizontally, because that is the greatest treasure of all. In fact, Jesus says, that's what the whole Bible is all about. But can you see the God that glitters that will somehow get us to forfeit the greatest commandment of all? And we can see that our nation is replete with the evidences of that. So make sure that you decide what the role of money will be early on. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. It's almost as if God is saying, you'll hate one and love the other, devoted to one, despise the other. It's almost like if I love money, I'll end up hating God. If I'll be devoted to money, I'll despise God. And you say, no, I won't. Yes, you will. Because if we're following the God that glitters and God says something, I will rationalize what God is saying. I'll actually despise God for this. I'll sugarcoat it, but basically that's what I'm doing. And what God spoke to me out of this verse, he said, Wayne, you got to love me to the point where you hate money. You love me to the point where you despise money. I said, what do you mean? It's like he said this. He said, Wayne, when you love me, then you say to money, you do what I tell you to do, and I will control you. You will never control me. And if I give you here, and that's fine, because God will provide more, but I will control you and tell you what to do. You will never tell me what to do. And if these emotions start coming up, say, I need this, and I just defy that and say, no. We've got to do that and keep control over that. Now, does that mean that we should all be poor? No, no, no. Some of God's greatest people were the most wealthy people of all in the Bible, but they stewarded well. They use that as a means to their eternal assignment, and that's why they did so much good. Everybody has their gifts and their callings, and some will be called to be a servant. Some will be a counselor, an advisor, and God knew that the finances part is not a part of that calling. That's why we've got to be as good as what God calls us to be, and when we stand before the Lord, the gifts that I've received and the gift that you've received will both be accountable for how we used that. I will be just as accountable for the way that I've used my leadership gifts for the things of God as someone who is a multimillionaire used what God gave him or her for the things of God. We're both accountable, every single one of us. So establish that eternal calling. Then put all your attention to fulfilling it. Decide the role that money will play. And then would you write down the last one, number two, invest your life in what God calls wealth. Invest your life in what God calls wealth. What is it? What does it mean to be rich towards God? It will do you well to write that down somewhere and decide what that really means. What will it be?
You have just heard a message entitled The God That Glitters by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.